On the wife thing, honey, go ahead and testify. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, she's the real deal. Praise God. She's the real deal. Now, what you see in the house of God is what she is at home. And I appreciate her. I love her. I'm glad the Lord has blessed me with her. I was preaching for Brother Strickler here a little while ago, and he asked me if I could come back on Sunday night, and I told him I was already booked up. And he turned around, and he said, "Well, Sister Godby, can you come?" But I felt it was necessary that I warned him. So I said, "Brother, that's some awful rough preaching." Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take it from somebody that knows. One night while I was sleeping, felt a presence in my room. I looked down at the foot of my bed, and there stood Mr. Gloom. He tried to put his spell on me, then I heard him start to weep. Then I spoke the name of Jesus, and I went right back to sleep. Ain't got time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. Ain't got time for you, devil. 'Cause Jesus lives in me. Ain't got time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. Devil like a lion, he's roaming to and fro. He's seeking whom he may devour, trying to steal my soul. But the line of Judah's in me, I've nothing now to fear. Satan, you have lost control, so get on out of here. No time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. Ain't got time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. Ain't got time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad God is still on the job. Now listen to me, devil. I got something I want to say. You've walked on me long enough. I'm going to walk on you. Well, I'm tired of you, Satan. You've had me bound way too long. I'm going to raise my hands to heaven. I'm gonna sing me a happy song. Well, you lied to me once, you've lied to me twice. Devil, you have lied to me all of my life. Well, I'm tired of God. Hallelujah. Look at old Paul in prison. Amen. But he got out. He had Daniel in the lion's den. And he got out. Huh? Praise God. You had the prodigal son down in the old hog pen. But he got out. Praise God. If you're in this morning, amen. If you're in one of those situations, if you're in some circumstance, amen, I'm glad to tell you that we're in the house of God, amen, this morning, and we're here with a God who can get you out. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning, and such a privilege to be among God's people again, among my friends, amen, and just such a privilege. And I appreciate Brother and Sister Savage and the opportunity they've given me to be here this morning. And it's good to see everybody here, and some new faces. And we love you. If you don't know us, if you first time you ever met us, amen, I want to tell you right now, we love you. Praise God. I'd like to do something to help you if the Lord would help me. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Praise God. After that first song, I messed it up so bad. Broke a guitar string on the first time out. Praise God. It'd probably be better if I didn't preliminary much. Praise God. I'll dig a hole I won't be able to ever get out of. Praise God. We love you. When I get sick, I don't call my earthly brother and sister. Y'all are more close to me than my blood kin are. When I have problems, amen. I love my brother and sister. Don't misunderstand me. But I go to y'all. When I have a need in my life that there's no way that I could meet and really no way that you could meet, I go to y'all. Praise God. Reason I do that is because I know that you'll take it far beyond you. Amen. You'll place it in the place where it can really do some good, and that's in the presence of the Lord. And I just want to tell you that we, with all of my heart, we love you. We appreciate you. And brother Danny Taylor one time said, all of that usually precedes. It's like when you say something, he's a good guy, but he said, usually that's anesthesia that precedes the operation. Praise God. Lord God. Hallelujah. But I just want to tell you, I love you. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning in verse number 3. If you stand with us for the reading of God's word. 1 Samuel 28 and verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto the servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the woman said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth, And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived with that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your precious word, God. I appreciate, Lord, what power and might can do, Lord. And we need a touch from heaven today, Lord. God, would you touch me, Lord, and touch my body, Lord, touch my tongue, Lord, that I might be able to preach your word. Touch hearts that they might receive, Lord, and bless this altar, Lord. Let the highest part of this service be at this altar today, God. Deal with hearts, Lord. Speak with us, Lord. Help us, God, to see what you want us to see from this word of God. And we'll fail not to give you the praise and honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for standing. I'd just like to briefly tell you what I've just read to you. I've read to you about a king by the name of Saul. And King Saul in his life had been graced with the presence of a prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel had often been his closest confidant. And he'd often given him the word of God directly, and Saul had often refused the word of God. And in Samuel's life, amen, Saul had been a big part of Samuel's life, and Samuel had been a big part of Saul's life. In the first verse that I read to you is a time where Samuel has died. During the reign of Saul, Saul has taken away the readers of palms, witches, and such from the land. And in the last part of his life, this is the evening of Saul's death, he's tried to seek God, amen, but he's found no answer from God. And now he's went back to the very thing that he had stood against while he was king, and he had sought for the witch of Endor. When the witch of Endor then began her incantations, if you'll have it that way, she brought up something that he called Saul. Praise God. I'd like to preach to you about that if the Lord will help me. I want you to know verse 3 is a pivotal verse of this. Now Samuel was dead, Lord of God. There's no question about that. One of my favorite Christmas stories is Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. I love that. You know, because the first thing that Dickens says about that, he said, now, Scrooge, talking about his partner, Marley, he said, now, Marley was dead, praise God. The whole story revolved on Marley being dead, amen. Everything about this scripture here is going to revolve on Samuel being dead. Now, Samuel was dead, there's no question about that. As a matter of fact, he was. When you die, the Bible says, "As a tree falleth, you know there it lays." Praise God. And if you're really wanting a good place to live, I would suggest moving in next to a cemetery. They don't play the music loud. Hey, Baron, they don't start the cars in the middle of the night. Hey, Baron, the dogs and cats don't run over your yard. Hallelujah. Y'all help me preach a minute. Dead is dead. Praise God. It's dead. Hey, man, I don't believe in ghosts and bumps in the night. Praise God. As a matter of fact, I believe Deacon, hey, man, will solve a lot of ghostly problems. Hallelujah. I believe it'll stop a lot of the bumping in the night. It'll stop a lot of noise in the night, Lord of God. And so I would like to say, amen, before I go any further, that I do not feel like that this was a ghost of Samuel. Amen. But it was rather a spirit that was called up by the witch. Amen. If you read with me in the Word of God, he asked specifically for Samuel. Amen. He listened as the witch described him and spoke to him about what he had wished her to bring up. Praise God. You know, in your heart, in your mind, in your heart, amen, you can want something so bad that you begin to think it's true, Lord God. Oh, help me preach a minute. Lord of God, you can want something until, despite the facts that are concerned with it. Hey, man, you can believe in your heart that it really is happening. Hey, man, let me go a little farther. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10, let me settle this. There shall not be found any among you that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divinations or observers of times, or an enchanter or a witch, or a charmer or consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. Praise God. God said, you don't do that. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, and when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and to wizards that peep and that mutter, amen, should not a people seek unto their God, amen, for the living to the dead. Praise God. I want you to know that, amen, when Saul began to ask this witch to bring up Samuel, that all the methods of God, if you read with me, you find out that God had not answered him by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Praise God. And so the answer is not going to come, amen, by a not prescribed method of God. Praise God. So I want to preach to you for just a little while, if you'll help me and listen to me. I want to preach on the haunting. The haunting. You see, Saul was being haunted. He was not being haunted by the ghost of Samuel. But it came on the eve of his death. He was haunted by his life. To haunt means, according to Webster's dictionary, to visit frequently, to come often to, the condition of a conscience and mind. A conscience is the inner voice distinguishing right from wrong. It is the soul's record of the deeds that are done. Praise God. So how would Saul be haunted then? Amen. How would he be haunted? Would he be haunted by the prophet that he refused, by the will of God he ignored? Amen. You ever been haunted? Oh, help me, Lord. You know, Dickens, again, I like Dickens. I like a lot of things he says, a lot of books he's written. I love to read him. But Dickens, when he wanted to have Ebenezer Scrooge dealt with him in three manners. He dealt with him in the Ghost of Christmas Past. You remember that, Snapper? The Ghost of Christmas Past. You know, the deeds that had happened a long time ago. And then he dealt with him about the Ghost of Christmas Present. You know, the things that had happened today. And then he dealt with him about the Ghost of Christmas Future. That unknown time. That time that the past and the present come to fruit, and it brings the future. Praise God. When Saul began to think about these things in his life, and God refused to answer him, amen, I wonder if Saul began to hear the bleating of a sheep in his ears. Amen, because one time God had told him to destroy some sheep, and he had brought the sheep back. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth this then, this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Praise God. And do you remember, amen, Saul, when you were walking among this prophet of God, you see, Samuel didn't mean anything to you, amen, while he was living. But now that he's dead, now that he's gone, and now that you can't hold to his hand and beg for God's mercy from him, amen, now he means something to you. Praise God. Listen to me. Amen. Now the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reaches out to us on a daily basis. Amen. He deals with us. Amen. About the haunting sins and the haunting wrongs of our life. Amen. All the things that could possibly be added to our existence. Those times that we wake up in the midnight hour, Brother Brandon. Amen. And we think about the things, amen, that we had done. And we think about the words that we had said. And we think about the things that we had thought. Y'all helping me preach. And those things become the haunting voice. Amen. And you go back and relive those circumstances, Brother Tim. And you go back and walk in that same room again. And you see the same stricken look on someone's face. And you see the same tears rolling down their
cheeks, and you see the same pain in their eyes, and you say, oh God, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never thought that. I wish I'd never said that. Amen. And when it's all over with, amen, you're gonna wish you'd listened to the Savior while He was walking with you on a daily basis. Amen. Because after a while, there comes an evening of death, and at the evening of death, amen, it will matter. Praise God. Glory to God. I wrote this down to myself because I've got a bad memory. And I said, watch your thoughts. They become words. And you got to watch your words because they become actions. And you got to watch your actions because they become habits. And you got to watch your habits because they become character. And you got to watch your character because it becomes your judgment. Hallelujah. Haunting. Yeah, now I don't care really, amen, if a ghost was to be standing here. As a matter of fact, there's a ghost lives in my house. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the ghost things, you know, according to what I read anyway, I mean, you can stick your hand through them. Praise God. That ain't too bad a deal. Hallelujah. I mean, there's been a lot of big old ugly looking guys. I'd rather run into a ghost than I would them. I mean, when I couldn't stick my hand through them, they'd stick their hand through me. The things that can come through your mind at a midnight hour, amen, are the haunting thoughts of life. Help me, Jesus. If you hear, amen, and sin is haunting you, torments your replaying scenes in your mind, conversations, and whether we're saint or sinner, amen, there are things that wrongs in life that can have their haunting effects on us. I know because I had my own, and when I was in the service, I claimed to be an atheist, and I remember walking over the bridge from El Paso, Texas to Juarez, Mexico. You had to give 2 pennies to go across there. And I got my 2 pennies and went across there. And I went over there because sin was cheaper on the other side of the border. And I went over there, and when I got crossed, there was little kids laying on the bridge, and they were covered up with newspapers. And I know I'm saved right now, Brother Savage, but I have never forgot the vision of those children covered up with a newspaper. And they used to put a little pie pan on a stick, and they'd run around under that bridge, and they would beg for pennies, pennies, pennies. And you'd throw your pennies off, and they would run around and catch them. But I had a duty to do for the devil. And all my change stayed in my pocket. And I went on across. I was even careful for those 2 pennies because I wanted to be able to get back after a while, Brother Raymond. And I even watched those 2 pennies, not even to let go of those 2 pennies to those precious children in the cold of a night covered up with newspapers. They been and run about with a pie pan. I know y'all ain't never done anything as bad as that. And I know your heart probably don't, amen, cry out to you sometimes like mine does in the middle of the night. Amen, I wish I'd have never done it. Wished I'd have never said it. Amen, I wish I'd have never been there. Praise the Lamb of God. But there are things that haunt your mind. Amen, there are things that come back to you. Praise God. I was really impressed when I read Genesis chapter 42. Amen, we know the story about Joseph. Amen, Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, cast into that pit. And some of them wanted to kill him. Amen. But some of them wanted to save him. And they cast him into that pit. Amen. And just to be sold into slavery. And when they did, amen, years later, it happened that God, amen, changed all that around for Joseph and made his trial a blessing and made his situation, amen, so that at last, amen, he was the second in rule of the country of Egypt. Amen. And now his brothers stand before him. And as they stand before him. Amen. He doesn't, the brothers do not understand. He has so changed over the years. They do not understand that they're standing before their brother. Amen. And they're talking and he's speaking in Egyptian with an interpreter. And they don't understand that he understands every word that they're saying. Amen. But this is what they say in Genesis chapter 42. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. And then this distress has come upon us. Reuben says, spake I not unto thee, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Praise God. Oh, God. Oh, God. My brother, I thought about preaching the message maybe sometime, but I don't know if it's my thoughts or the Lord's thoughts. You know how that gets sometimes. I thought about preaching the message on the day I killed my brother. Praise God. You know, the day that I sold him out. Hit me, Lord. Y'all pray for me, would you? I wonder if every night when they lay down, if they didn't go back to that old pit again. And Judah would say, "I remember his tears that he cried." Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a big fool, Brother Savage. I really am. I'm about as ignorant as it can possibly be. And I did some stuff, amen, that I'm not proud of. I know one time I was preaching at a certain place, and this lady was singing and playing the piano for me, and when she did, I didn't recognize the other night. I knew a lady sang a song, and I requested this certain song. Go help me preach a minute. I requested this certain song from this lady, and she went up to the piano and began to play, and I turned around and looked at the other lady, and it looked just like she was so stricken. And I realized what I'd done. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all so holy. Praise God. You have no idea what I'm speaking about. Glory to God. When Jesus said, if you bring a gift to the altar, amen, to leave your gift on the altar and go be reconciled with your brother. What that's saying is that gift's no good until you go fix it. Hallelujah. That thing is laying there, even if it's meant for him, it's no good until you go fix that other part. Amen. That part where the tears is rolling, that part where the soul's ripped out by the roots, oh, help me, Jesus. That part when a brother looks at that other brother and says, "Would you sell him into slavery?" Praise God. And that view, that conscience, amen, is so violated by that act. Amen. Great God in heaven. If it does not violate our conscience, there's something bad wrong. It is seared some way or another. It is destroyed some way or another. Thank God for a good conscience. Thank God for a life that won't let you lay down. For your conscience that won't let you lay down unless you make it right. Thank God for y'all helping me preach. Years ago, you remember Russ Savage, some years ago after the camp meeting, you asked me to come here and preach on a Sunday. I don't know if you remember it or not. I don't know if you remember my reply. I told you that my dad and I had a little difficulty, and I couldn't come because I wanted to go be with my dad in a meeting. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. I ain't preaching about something I don't know about. My dad and I got crossways. And I had to fix that. I had to fix that. how much does this mean to us? Oh, what value is it? Hallelujah. Man, I'd rather preach here. I love y'all. I'd rather preach here. Man, y'all, I love it. Y'all are so good to me. So good to my wife. You filled our grocery. You filled our refrigerator up. You filled our car up. Hey, man, you filled our soul up with your fellowship and your friendship. Hey, man, but that day there was something bigger. Something bigger. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, since that day, praise God, my dad and I, hallelujah, woo, it fixed it, hallelujah, just doing one little old trip to one little old meeting, amen. And sitting there and loving him with, y'all help me preach a minute. I know y'all have never had any Crossways experiences with anybody. Hey, but I know that you don't. Come on now, help me preach. You know you're lying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, help me preach a minute, would you? Hey, but what if we get it fixed? What happens then? What happens if we get it all behind us? Hey, but what happens if we can look him right dead in the eye and say, I love you? Hey, but with no reservations whatsoever. What happens if we pile it all? Hey, but up in the corner and let Calvary take care of it. Hey, but what happens if we just do it the way God said to do it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we get haunted by things that we've done. Herod was haunted in Matthew chapter 14. Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, it is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That's because he had his head taken off. Amen. And that bothered him. Praise God. That bothered him every night. That bothered him every time. Every time somebody said about Jesus, he healed a lame man. He said, that's John. Every time he talked about walking on the water, he said, that's John. Praise God. Because he could never see Jesus. Y'all help me preach a minute. Now I'm telling you something if you listen to me. He couldn't see Jesus for seeing his sin. Jesus was hidden from him. Amen. By John the Baptist. He was hidden from him by the things that he had committed. He'd been against John the Baptist. And he never could see Jesus because he couldn't get over what he had done. Because he could, oh, help me preach, dear Lord. I'm trying my best. I want to tell you that there's a haunting that happens to the souls of men. Amen. There's a haunting that happens to the souls of women. Amen. It far surpasses any haunted house you ever heard of. It far surpasses, amen, I'm trying to remember that name of some Amityville horror or whatever it was years ago. I remember when I was lost, there's some big deal about some house that was haunted. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all help me preach a minute. Amen. I'd rather meet a ghost anytime. Amen. And meet my unfixed sins and my unfixed emotions and my unfixed judgments. Amen. My unfixed opinions. Amen. My help me, Lord. I'm talking about a Savior. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus who would like to get to you and he'd like to help you. Amen. But we can't forget about John. Hallelujah. Need to get John out of the way. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, glory, glory. I was so sick this morning when I got up. I didn't think I was going to make it to the house of God. I walked around the house time and time again. Hey, been thinking I probably ought to just call. Hey, been tell Brother Savage that I couldn't come. Hey, been, but right now I realize I'm supposed to be here. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be here. Praise God. And I'm supposed to preach to you. Hey, been about a haunted soul. I'm supposed to preach to you that Jesus wants him to where that haunted feeling is. And Jesus wants to fix it. And Jesus wants to fix it. Amen. But there may be some fixing you need to do yourself. Amen. There may be some restoration you need to do yourself. I'm telling you, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. That Jesus, amen, can fix a haunted house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And there are things that we leave undone. You remember that rich man in hell? Amen. The things that he left undone are there to haunt him in hell. I have five brothers. I have five brothers. Would you go, Lord, unto my five brothers? Come on now, help me preach. Would you go to my father's house and talk to my brothers? My brothers are lost without God. And if somebody don't get them, somebody rise from the dead and talk to them. But I'll tell you, he did rise from the dead. Amen. Jesus rose on the third day. Amen. He rose on the third day. And he's speaking to you this morning. And he's saying, if you want it fixed, it can be fixed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you've been slacking off on this, oh, hit me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had a friend of mine. I talk about him every once in a while. His name is Marvin Osborne. Y'all ever heard me talk about Marvin? Marvin's the guy with the baseball hat on. And he always wore that baseball hat. It said, happens. Y'all remember when they put faces on milk cartons when missing people? All right, he had this hat that said, happiness is your mother-in-law's picture on a milk carton. Praise God. That's Marvin. Hallelujah. And Marvin told me about this haunted place that he lived one time. I'm preaching to you if you just listen to me just a little. He told me about this haunted place he had one time, and he said, at the end of every day, amen, they put all their shoes in a certain place. And he said, in the morning, he said, all the shoes would be lined up down at the foot of the stairs. Praise God. Hallelujah. I never thought about much about it. I was kind of snickered. I could see a ghost carrying my big old 15 Tripolis around all night. Hallelujah. It'd wear out the devil. Hallelujah. Wears me out. I'm not the devil, though. Praise God. But I got thinking about that lately, and I wonder if it was the Lord. And he was saying, get in those shoes and go back and fix it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, things left undone haunt me. Not just because of my wife. Praise God, before you get that all over with. Not just because the honey-do list is not complete. Hallelujah. There have been times I wished I had of. And didn't. I had a young boy in my class when I taught public school, and he was 16 years old. And Travis Jackson was his name. And Travis was on drugs, and Travis, I tried to deal with him, and even called the principal in on the deal. And the principal told me, he said, that's his aftershave lotion. That's some weird aftershave lotion, I'll tell you that. Went for a Christmas vacation and come back, and an old big R.J. King meet me at the door, and he's crying. Big old football player, big crying. And I said, R.J., what in the world's wrong? He said, ain't you heard? He said, Travis committed suicide on New Year's Eve. And I wonder, brother, if that's the way that man felt down hell when he said, would you go to my five brothers? How many out through this road here anyway? How many is around this neighborhood? Lord of God, Brother Savage, I love you. I hope I'm... You ever had a bad attitude? Can I help you just a little bit? And I'm going to sit down. Somebody get a song on their heart, would you? And I'm about finished. I just tell on myself. When my grandmother, my mom's mom, was the only grandmother that lived any time at all, she lived with us, Brother Raymond. And Mama would fix cornmeal mush. I hated that stuff. I didn't like it. I mean, I just flat didn't like it. And it was, we had cornmeal mush every morning. And I remember arguing with my precious grandmother about cornmeal mush. If I could just hold her for a little while, I would tell her how ridiculous and how stupid and how petty that I had been. And I'd say, Lord, Grandma, would you forgive me? Hallelujah. I still don't like cornmeal mush. But I loved her more than I realized I loved her. A lot of folks like that, you know. You love them a lot more than you think you do right now. When time comes, amen, that they're not around anymore like Samuel. There's some things that can still be done, you know. Hey, some that are still within reach of a telephone call. There's some that are still in reach of a vehicle ride down the road. There's some that's still in reach of an email, amen, dropped. There's some still, somebody even sends cards now. Every once in a while, some people send cards. You can even send a card or a letter. Praise God. I'm talking about stopping the haunting. Hallelujah. All right. Somebody get me a song. Are you ready? Praise God. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. I've lived long enough to realize that inside of Eddie Gobbie doesn't lie any good thing. Amen. But there is a good thing, amen, in Jesus Christ. I realize that all the goodness lies in Him. I realize in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Glory to God. And there is help. Hey, Ben, there's a place. I like it when, the guy that went back, and I can't think of it, Jacob. Hey, Ben, when he went back and he's going back to the place he first prayed. Hey, Ben, and when he went back there, he went by that old oak tree, Shechem, I believe it was. Hey, Ben, he buried all that stuff at the old oak tree. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, Ben, I tell you, we don't have an old oak tree around here anymore, but there is another tree. Hey, Ben, there is a tree. Hey, Ben, a tree called Calvary. Hey, Ben, there's a mountain called Calvary, and there's a cross on that mountain, and it's called the cross of Calvary. And there the blood of the Lamb cleanses from all sin and unrighteousness. Hey, Ben, it makes brand new that's been torn apart and dirtied by sin. It gives a brand new start. It gives a brand new chance. Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 2, he said he took the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He took it out of the way and he nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. He nailed it to his cross. Glory to God. How'd you like to get out of... Hallelujah. You ever seen a ghost? All right. Praise God. How'd you like to get rid, amen, of guilt? Somebody back here. Quiet, sister. Quiet. Play some. You know, I'm preaching this because I love you. They always have them old chains rattling in them stories, you know. Them old chains of the bindings of life. Those things that have held us down and held us back and caused us so much torment. You know, you got to really work at holding a grudge. You really do. Praise God. It'd be easier just to have that chain taken away. It'd be easier just to not have to carry them chains anymore. That clanging. Praise God. How'd you like for Jesus to remove your chains? Would you stand with me and let's pray together? Heavenly Father, I've done my best to preach, Lord, what I believe you give me. Now, Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts, God. God, move for us, Lord. Move for us, Lord. Move for us, Lord. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. But friend, God made that cross so it's mobile. And he brings it right here to this altar for you today. Why don't you come up and lay those chains on the cross? Praise God. Why don't you let him? Let's pray again together. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you touch hearts, Lord, that you'd move among us, Lord. God, would you move? Just do what you need to do, Lord, with me. God, start with me, Lord. And then anybody else, Lord, who needs, God, what's needed today, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd move in our hearts and lives, Lord. We get so tired of dragging the chains around, Lord. Would you help us, God, to let them go? Would you saw them off, Lord? Would you cast them away, God, that we might be free? Would you do it, Lord? We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Wherever you pray the best, would you make your way there now? If you pray better walking, would you start walking? If you pray better laying before the Lord, find your place and lay before the Lord. Ask God. Ask God. Are there any hauntings that you need to take care of? You here this morning, and you're lost without the Lord. God made a way, amen, for you to lay down the chains of sin. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not be lost, should not perish. Hallelujah. Shattered on the If you feel a knocking at your heart this morning, would you come? Please, there's something in your heart you need to get settled. Would you come? I need your grace to make it through. I wish I had real pretty words to tell you. But all I can tell you is God knows and God can help you. Lord, I know it because it's helped me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. At your mercy. Would you lay it down? Please. Would you lay it down?
I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. I read in the Bible that old